Good morning, colleagues. We will briefly review treatment modalities of cervical cancer with particular reference to developing countries. We will deliberate on radiotherapy and palliative care approaches in this lecture. The treatment modalities considered in the management of cancer of the uterine cervix include surgery, radiotherapy, and chemotherapy. The treatment of any cancer is generally considered under three broad headings: radical treatment approaches, palliative treatment, and symptomatic treatment. Radical treatment approaches are considered when there is a considerable possibility of achieving a cure, so that one would use fairly intensive treatment and you will accept certain complications and side effects. Palliative treatment is applied when one is encountered with a very advanced disease where cure is unlikely to be achieved, so that one will use treatment modalities to palliate the symptoms. And in certain instances, the cancer is extremely well advanced, so that no definite forms of treatments can be used and people will consider only symptomatic management. In the case of cancer of the uterine cervix, radical surgery is considered in stage 1 cases and in selected 2A cases. In most other stages of disease, one would consider radiation therapy. Radical radiotherapy is considered for treatment for stages 1, 2, and 3B. And in selected cases of stage 4A also, one may consider radical radiotherapy with a curative intention. In stage 4B, and in most cases of stage 4A, radiotherapy may be delivered with a palliative intent. And for delivering radiotherapy dosage, one would consider two reference points, point A and point B. Radical radiotherapy with a curative intention for cancer of the uterine cervix usually consists of a combination of external beam pelvic radiotherapy with the target volume covering the uterus, parametria, and the lymph nodes, and intracavity radiation for the central disease. The aim is to deliver a total dose of around 80 gray to point A, which is an imaginary point, is 2 centimeters above the midline and 2 centimeters on the lateral to the midline. The external radiotherapy can be delivered with a telecobalt machine or a linear accelerator. If a patient is thin and her interfaced distance is less than 20 centimeters, parallel pair of radiation portals will be used to deliver radiation. In thicker, obese patients, a four-field beam arrangement will be considered. One may also consider special midline sheets. For example, after delivering 20 gray in stage 1 and 2, or after delivering 40 gray in stage 3 disease. The total dose of external radiation will vary between 40 to 50 gray in 20 to 25 fractions over 4 to 5 weeks. Intracavitary radiotherapy for cancer of the uterine cervix may be delivered with low dose rate techniques, otherwise called LDR techniques, or using high dose rate techniques or HDR techniques. The low dose rate intracavitary radiotherapy may be delivered in one application, usually for stage 3 cervical cancer, or in two applications, for example for stages 1 and 2, if midline shield was used while delivering external radiotherapy. The dose aimed is 30 gray to 0.A. The high dose rate technique usually consists of 5 weekly applications of 7 gray to 0.A. This is used for stages 1 and 2 if midline shield is used. Alternatively, one may use 3 applications of 7 gray to 0.A for stage 3 disease. Based on results coming from phase 3 randomized clinical trials in developed countries, it's believed that concurrent chemo radiotherapy gives better results than radiotherapy alone. And in this setting, a single agent cisplatinum or a two-drug combination containing cisplatinum plus paclitaxel are used concurrently with radiotherapy. Palliative radiotherapy is used in most cases of stage 4A and 4B to alleviate distressing symptoms like severe bleeding, painful discharge, back pain, and other symptoms. Usually, 30 gray is delivered in 10 fractions over 2 weeks. This bar diagram shows the 5-year survival rates from cervical cancer in selected developing countries. The survival rates ranged from 20% to around 65%, the lower rates observed in sub-Saharan Africa, and the higher rates observed in countries like Singapore and Thailand. Palliative care involves support of patients whose disease is in advanced or terminal stages. It includes pharmacological treatment, specific anti-cancerous treatment, and psychosocial as well as emotional support. The objective of palliative care is to improve the quality of life through the prevention, early detection, and relief of distressing symptoms and psychosocial problems encountered in patients with advanced or terminal cancer. The important components of palliative care include pain relief. Pain is a very distressing symptom in advanced cancer patients. And the pain in advanced cancer is excruciating and persistent. So hence, the pain relief measures should also be persistent and cover the entire day. Then there are several other distressing symptoms in advanced cancers which should be relieved to achieve a good quality life. And terminal cancer is associated with extensive psychosocial and emotional burden, which should be taken care of by psychosocial support and support from the family members. In the case of advanced or terminal cervical cancer, a woman may experience several symptoms. Excruciating pain may be felt due to the advanced disease per se, which involves organs like the bladder, rectum, and parametrium, and the surrounding tissues, with the involvement of several pelvic ligaments. There could be severe bleeding from the vessels in the growth, which would be very difficult to control with ordinary bleeding control measures. The growth itself offers a nidus for infection, and there can be very distressing foul-smelling discharge. Because of the involvement of the bowel, there could be bowel obstruction. And lymphedema may occur due to the pelvic lymph nodes pressing on the iliac vessels. And because of the metastatic involvement of the bones, particularly the vertebra, there could be pathological fracture. And involvement of the rectal mucosa and bladder mucosa can lead to fistula formation, and the rectovaginal and the vesicovaginal fistula produce probably the most distressing symptoms one can ever experience. And finally, the advanced disease can affect nutrition and can lead to extensive wasting and cachexia with all the superadded symptoms due to metabolic malfunction, leading to confused states. These are some of the important principles for the use of analgesics to relieve cancer pain. One should always aim at oral dosing. This is easy to administer, can be administered at home, and administered by relatives and the patient by herself. Since the cancer pain is persistent and continues throughout the day and night, one should aim at regular administration of the analgesics by the clock without waiting for the pain to reappear or appear. So, regular administration by the clock is an important principle to alleviate cancer pain. Similarly, a sound sleep is very important. Since the pain is continuous, if the pain is not relieved, sleep is disturbed, and this increases the intensity of pain. So, there should be a bedtime dosing which should be higher than the daytime dosing, so that there is continuous pain relief throughout the night when the patient sleeps. And the effect of regular analgesics can be improved in certain occasions by using certain helper drugs, and one should always closely monitor and adjust the dosage of oral analgesics by close interaction with the patient. We strongly advocate the WHO step principles in the administration of analgesics for pain relief. For mild pain, one would use the guidelines for WHO step 1, and one will use analgesics like paracetamol, aspirin, ibuprofen, diclofenac, naproxen, and paroxicam for the relief of cancer pain. For moderate pain, one would use analgesics such as codeine, hydrocodone, and oxycodone. One will also take care in this instance to relieve distressing constipation as a side effect of these drugs. For severe pain, one would use WHO step 3 principles. Morphine is the mainstay of pain relief in this situation. One would consider oral morphine for a large number of patients for relieving severe pain. One would follow these standard dose regimes for the use of non-opioid analgesics such as paracetamol, aspirin, and ibuprofen. One should be aware of the side effect so that one can use caution in avoiding this unpleasant side effects. Codeine may be used at a dose of 30 milligram every 4 hours. It causes constipation, so one will give laxatives from the beginning to avoid the distressing symptoms of constipation. In the case of morphine, oral morphine, one would use a dose of 2.5 to 5 milligram every 4 hours. And one will adjust the dosage according to the needs of the patient and other parameters such as breathing. There is no ceiling dose. And one will also use laxatives to avoid constipation. One would use amitriptyline for relieving neuropathic and musculoskeletal pain. And one may use oral corticosteroids like prednisolone for malignant bone and nerve pain and to relieve spinal cord compression. One will use carbamazepine or valproic acid for relieving paroxysmal burning or electric shock like neuropathic pain. And pain due to bowel obstruction may be relieved by the use of octreotide. Specific anti-cancerous treatment such as radiotherapy, chemotherapy, and surgery have a definite role in the palliative care of advanced cervical cancer patients. Radiotherapy is particularly useful in relieving pain due to bone metastasis. Symptoms such as lymphedema and pain due to enlarged lymph nodes in the pelvis. And radiotherapy is very useful in controlling severe bleeding and discharge from the growth. Palliative surgery may be considered in occasional cases of extensive symptoms due to bowel obstruction. Psychosocial symptoms such as depression, anger, anxiety and fear, and a feeling of guilt and sin are quite common in advanced cervical cancer patients, and they are managed with proper psychosocial support and the use of tranquilizers. Palliative care is unfortunately one of the most neglected areas of overall cancer care, and people are not very aware about the need to relieve symptoms to achieve a good quality life in terminal cancer patients. This is true for patients themselves, their relatives, and healthcare providers. The formulation of a national palliative care guideline is an important step in the overall adequate use of palliative care. And one should realize home-based care has a major role in the overall palliation of symptoms in advanced cancer patients. Education and reorientation of healthcare providers, fair pricing and regulations of analgesics so that there is continuous and sustained availability of the drugs in the hospitals and markets, and the use of appropriate logistics for delivering specific therapies such as radiotherapy, and finally a team approach, are important constituents to deliver effective palliative care for advanced cervical cancer patients. A field manual developed by Engender Health and the Program for Appropriate Technology in Health, who are partners in the Alliance for Cervical Cancer Prevention, supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is a very useful manual for delivering palliative care and for training healthcare personnel as well as relatives and the community at large.